Live from the oil capital of North Dakota in Tioga, KTGO AM 1090 brings you the Morning Lowdown with your host, Dakota Public Relations' own connected, experienced legislative agent, Dennis Lindahl.
Have you heard the news? Bad things coming to.
Home Patriots, game on. Good morning to you. I hope that you had, we hope that you had a great, great weekend. Boy, oh boy, we know we had a great weekend. We had the Tioga Prayer Group on Saturday. That was a great thing. Lots of very good prayer, very good conversation, praying about our nation, praying about the Suprema Corte and what was heard at the Supreme Court on Friday. Also, rushing down on us is going to be another three cases, the 2020 election, Sidney Powell, that's Wisconsin, and Arizona. There's another one in there, too. But anyway, so they're talking about consolidating these fraud cases. And don't forget, there's still like 18 more cases nationwide about voter fraud. So don't give up yet, Patriot. Do not give up. A little bit later, we're going to have Penelope from the Back Channels is going to come and talk to us about the research that she's been doing over on the power outages in Texas. And what is the real cause? Oh, folks, it's not what you think. It is not what you think, folks. Penelope called me and told me all about it yesterday. And then Danielle Johnson at the end of the program, Danielle Johnson is going to give us a call and talk to us about Senate Bill, I think it was 2183, Senate Bill 2183, which is intended to cap basic life-sustaining insulin and supplies necessary to dose and administer insulin. This is going to be in front of the state legislature on Monday or Tuesday. And so we're going to have to, well, anyway, she's going to call and tell us about that. WTI crude oil this morning, $60.22. It is up 98 centavos this morning. Keep watching, Patriot. Keep watching on all of this. Keep watching. Do not forget. We are in a global market. Do not forget, especially in the Tioga area. Don't forget in the Tioga area that the Hess plant is going to do their 45-day shutdown and their turnaround plus the expansion. So be ready for that activity. It's supposed to happen in third quarter. I imagine if I had to use my imagination, gauging on what turnarounds have been in the past, I'd say that they'll probably start ramping up in June or July. You'll probably start seeing employees and contractors and so forth coming to the area. I already had one subcontractor contact me looking for territory that they could rent. And so it technically already has started. I already started getting the phone call. So just FYI, keep that in your back pocket. I keep saying that these communities are not ready for another boom. So if you're listening to the show, get ready. That's all I'm saying. We don't know what's going to happen with the price of crude oil, but we do know that these announcements of expansions, and oh, we got another major pipeline coming through the area. So there will be that activity as well. Just get ready. That's all I'm saying is just get ready. Let's see, today, to weather today, but Daisy and I and Crayley went out this morning at 4:50 in the morning. It was so bright out. And then we went back out at about 6:30 this morning, and it already started getting overcast, and it was dark. It was really weird. It was weird to go out at almost 5 o'clock and it'd be light, and then go out again at 6:30, whatever, and it was started to get dark. So it was a little bit weird. Chance of rain and snow before 11 a.m., then a slight chance of rain between 11 and 1, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with a high near 45. Tonight, 20% chance of snow after midnight, increasing clouds with a low around 23 degrees, windy and west wind 20 miles per hour. Tuesday, snow likely before noon. So be careful out there. Partly sunny with a high near 27 degrees. Blustery northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour on Wednesday. So lots of stuff going on in the communities, folks. Lots of stuff going on. Of course, our signature sponsor is the Tioga Chamber of Commerce. They sponsor all of the programs that you hear here every day, like What's On Your Mind, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, Alex Jones, Michael Savage, my colleague, Mr. Jim Prather, as well as this program to keep the community entertained and informed. So let's rush through the news really quickly so that we can make room for Penelope from the back channels. If you get the Patriot Alerts, if you are signed up for the Patriot Alerts this morning, you already know what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the New Mexico governor, Grisham, caught using taxpayer money to pay for her groceries, to pay for her tequila and her whiskey. Oh, these governors nationwide, both parties are under scrutiny for their COVID response. We shall wait and see. We shall wait and see how will the North Dakota media treat our governor? How would you grade? If you were to give our Governor Burgum, I believe he's a friend of the program. He's been on the program numerous times. Give him all the time that he wants. If you were to grade Governor Burgum's COVID response, you know, like if you're just do like A, B, C, D, F. If you were to do that, what grade would you give him? Give me a text message. Send me a message over on the Discord. Send me a message on the Patriot Alert system. If you're not a member of the Patriot Alert, send me a thumbs up. Send me a thumbs up to my regular cell phone number, and I will add you to the Patriot Alerts. I had to kick somebody off. I had to kick a patriot off of the Patriot Alerts because they were constantly arguing with me. And it was just calling. I would rather have a friend than have, you know, somebody to argue with. So I had to boot somebody. So there's a spot open on the Patriot Alerts. I sent out Patriot Alerts. I was trying to this weekend. I was trying very hard to not overload the Patriots and give everybody, you know, give everybody some time off. But so that's about the Patriot Alerts. Oh, then look at this. Oh, they're starting to eat their own. It is happening. Those of you patriots out there that are like, nothing ever happens. Nothing ever happens. All this stuff gets talked about and nothing ever happens. Well, guess what? It's happening. And it's happening right now. Guess what? The federal government is examining the federal government, confirmation from the federal government that they are investigating the Biden family business. Write that down. Also in the news, what's happening? Look at this. Not just the governors being in hot water over their COVID response, but also look at Cuomo, man. They're starting to eat their own. They are starting to eat their own. Cuomo is going to go down. Cuomo, listen. Kamala Harris and her ilk, all those people, they got somebody else in mind to be governor. Excuse me. Yeah, Governor Cuomo to be governor. They got somebody else in mind. They don't want Cuomo anymore. So they are going to throw Cuomo under the bus, and, you know, they got to be careful. They got to be careful because they start throwing too many Democrats under the bus. Then they're likely to get grabbed by the leg and have somebody drag them under the bus. That's what I'm saying. That is exactly what I'm saying. Just watch it, folks. Nobody's perfect. Nobody is perfect. And so knowing that no one's perfect, understanding what people aspire to, like if you are conservative, even though we are not perfect, we still strive for the perfect conservative outcome, let's say. So what do you got to do to have that? You have to have morals. Well, you have ethical behavior. So you have to have ethical behavior and ethical decisions. Then you have to have some morality to back that up. You have to know the difference between right and wrong. And so if you are the party of conservative values, then the opposite party is going to be full of probably unethical people and probably full of people that have no morality. And so we oppose those people. But those people on the other side, they'll say, see, nobody's perfect. Meanwhile, they're fleecing everyone. Penelope from the back channels. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. So what type of stuff are you looking into? What type of stuff? So we talked this weekend about the whole Texas thing and the whole losing power and not having power and 900 cents per kilowatt hour. What type of stuff have you been looking into on those back channels?
Yeah, right. Well, speaking of back channels, I'll tell you what, your little back channel group that we have, we've got some comedians in there. Did you see what someone dropped last night about Ted Cruz?
No.
And saying that Ted Cruz is breaking barriers for Latinos. Let's see, we have this from Rocket Man, and it said he found out somebody, it looks like on Twitter, had dropped something that said Ted Cruz continues to be a trailblazer as he becomes the first Hispanic person to flee from Texas to Mexico because of ICE.
That is crazy. That's so sick.
Yeah,
anyways.
There's some really funny people. I love having the group like we have. It helps, you know, to have a place where we can put down, you know, the information that we find. There's, you know, one person can't do it all. So that's what's been really great about having the group.
Well, and, what's good about having the group is that you can sort through the news. Like if somebody brings something forward that is just so crazy, you can be like, okay, seriously now? Come on. You know, I mean, we see all kinds of disinformation, and that's a very good way, because sometimes the desires of our heart make us bias. We see things a certain way. So when people are saying, like, you know, Biden isn't the president, he's in Georgia somewhere at a fake White House or wherever it's supposed to be, you know, people can look at that and be like, okay, are you serious? You seriously think this is happening? I'm just one example, but it's kind of a way to self-sort. Penelope, you probably are one of those people that believe that Joe Biden is not in the actual White House and that he's over to the fake White House in Arkansas. What do you think? Is Joe Biden in the real White House or is he in the fake White House in Arkansas?
Well, they don't have any pictures of him coming and going from the White House, but I don't know, Dennis. I mean, when you look at the pictures that they show in comparison of what's inside the Oval Office and everything, they sure are refurbishing with old decorations, you know. Even the old rug that they had in the blue rug in the Oval Office when Clinton was in there. I don't know what to think. I know they
okay,
say
so,
that
so
the
those
Air
you
Force
anons,
One, that he's not.
Those of you anons that don't know, or excuse me, those of you anons, those of you patriots that don't know what's going on, there is a theory on the back channels that Joe Biden is actually officing. He is using the Oval Office at the Clinton Presidential Library in Arkansas. And I got to tell you, I'm not conspiracy. We're not conspiracy here, but there is some compelling evidence when you compare Joe Biden's decorations, the decorations in Joe Biden's office are very reminiscent and actually some of the same items. There's a painting, as Penelope mentioned, the carpet, that are the same as the Clinton era. So what do you think, Penelope, what do you think the chances? And he's not really flying on Air Force One, and he's only flown on Marine One like twice. What do you think's going on? What's the back channel
well,
rumor?
We
on
do
going?
Have... I haven't dropped them, but we do have photos where twice now where they've shown live feed and coming off of Air Force One, and it's from 10 years ago, you know, when he was in office with Obama. You know, and
really?
So that's pretty weird. Exact tie, exact everything is exactly. I mean, we have comparison side by side, so I don't know. Why is that happening?
I don't remember where or who sent it to me, but somebody from the United States Air Force sent me a photograph. You know how, like, when you enter military facilities, they usually have a picture of the president up? Well, they have a picture, they have a board of the chain of command that goes all the way up to the commander in chief. And they have removed the picture of Donald Trump as commander in chief, but they did not replace it with a photo of Joe Biden. So the wall shows the chain of command, and the commander-in-chief is missing. I thought that was pretty peculiar, but I'm not saying that there's a conspiracy theory. I'm just saying, you know, there are people that have noticed that Joe Biden has not flown on the big 757 that Donald Trump always used to take. But they're saying the argument is, well, he's taken the B2, whatever it is, the Boeing B, I can't remember what it is.
Right.
Yeah, 323 or whatever it is. Because he's flying into smaller airports. He doesn't want to be an opulent president like Trump was. He's using the smaller jet because it uses less fuel.
Yeah. Well, how come Kamala hasn't spent one night in the vice president's residency?
Is that true?
Yeah.
So Kamala Harris has not taken up residence at the Naval Observatory.
No.
That's remarkable. Well, I thought it was interesting that Joe Biden, when he went to Camp David, that they brought him back in a motorcade instead of in Marine One. They brought him back in a motorcade, and they stated it was because of the weather. And then, you know, Donald Trump recently had a Trump rally in Florida, and he showed up.
Mm-hmm.
He showed up, and he was not in the presidential limo, but I'm telling you what, he had a caravan of Secret Service bulletproof SUVs. I thought that was interesting. You don't really see the former presidents traveling a lot.
Right. Yeah, so it's interesting to watch, but it's tiring too. And then we have all this weather stuff going on, as you were asking about.
Penelope, let's do this. Let's take our break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about Texas, and we'll talk about some of the weather events down there and some of the stuff that they're researching on the back channels. We'll be back right after this quick message.
I can make computers survive aquatic conditions. I know how to run the business, and I can make you want to buy a product. Movers, shakers, and producers. Me and my friends understand the future. I see the strings that control the system. I can do anything with no resistance, because I can lead a nation with a microphone. With a microphone. With a microphone. And I can split the atom of a molecule.
Broadcasting from the oil capital of North Dakota, this is AM 1090, KTGO, Tioga.
You're listening to The Morning Lowdown with Dennis Lindahl on AM 1090 and FM 92.7. The Morning Lowdown continues now.
Thank you. So we are joined this morning by Penelope from the back channels. Penelope, what kind of stuff have you been researching and hearing about this, these power outages and losses down in Texas? What's going on there?
Oh, man. Well, you know, I know you guys probably didn't think -1 was that big of a temperature change, you know, or it's not that low. But for people that aren't used to it or don't expect it, it was pretty shocking to Texas, and it caused a catastrophe for them. And, you know, there were all types of Twitter videos and Instagram and, you know, Telegram and all of that. People saying, you know, what was happening to them. They were paying $200 a night. They went to hotels because they had babies. And, you know, which that's, they said there was price gouging going on. But price gouging that was really ultimately happening in the whispers was the prices of the utility costs. So they went from, 3 to 8 cents a kilowatt to over 9 cents a kilowatt,
which averages 900 cents.
Yes, 900. So it averages out to, $9,000 a megawatt. So they ended up, you know, on average it was $450 a day for you to keep your house powered up. And so there were actually companies that were telling, the company was telling to switch to another company until they could get things sorted out, because they knew that there were people that weren't going to be able to afford it. But ultimately, what a lot of that came down to was the people that were on an average pay, a monthly average pay. they were the ones that was going to hurt the company in the long run because they're under contract where they only have to pay, say, $150 a day when they were actually being charged $450 a day. You know, and so that was another way that they would end up being kicked off the, if they couldn't keep up with the contract, then they would be kicked off the contract. I saw a lot of this starting to happen in Venezuela a few years ago when they started to have power grid issues. And what it really came down to was is that Venezuela wasn't able to afford the utilities. They weren't able to afford the state or the country couldn't afford to pay the electric company for their power. So they had no choice but to start doing rolling blackouts. And so I started immediately looking into SPP, the company, and seeing why they were going to do rollouts. And because they did rollouts here in my area, in Missouri. And so they actually, SPP owns all the way down south. And so they started telling us they were going to do rollouts. And we're like, why? Texas is the one with the problem, not us. Well, back in 2019, they had started doing introducing these wind turbine programs. And when they started switching over, which is 30% of their grid, when they started switching over, they started losing power then, resources or energy storage. They started losing then. And that's when they started finding that they were going to have an issue then. They knew in 2019 that they could run into an issue like this, that all it would take is a heavy storm. But what doesn't get me, Dennis, that doesn't make any sense, is that when we were all locked down, there were a lot of restaurants and big box stores, granted not Home Depot, Lowe's, or Walmart. Well, I think even Lowe's shut down for a little while. But a lot of restaurants and the schools and everything, that should have conserved on energy there. That should have helped them build their storage back up. So, yeah, I was looking into that, you know, and listening to how they were saying that the prices, you know, had gone to ridiculous amounts. And then actually there's a prepper, his name's Mike Adams. He put out a digital preparedness book. I can try to find that link and drop it. And he has a lot of good information on how to get by, you know, if things like that happen. But he got caught with his pants down because he, in Texas, always thought that diesel would be the answer. Well, I'm sure all of you know what diesel will do when it gets cold. And that's what he found out. His generators were diesel generators, and all his backup fuel that he had was diesel. So he found out the hard way and ended up having to lean on to wood. And so there's, I think it was a rude awakening to people on, you know, what was going on. But I'm sitting here on my Nextdoor Neighbor app, and I'm saying, this reminds me of Venezuela. And, oh, my gosh, people came at me like you wouldn't believe. They called me nuts and crazy and all kinds of stuff. And then, lo and behold, it comes out with the article stating that prices had skyrocketed and that the company did not, the gas company did not want to be charged huge amounts of money for usage. So they purposely cut the gas off to the residents because of it, to avoid high charges.
Wow. So have you stumbled across this information or this rumor? I don't even want to say it's a rumor because I think it's been reported in you know, regular news that Joe Biden did some he rescinded some executive order that Donald Trump had, and that's really what caused this spike in with regards to keeping out foreign entities from our power grid, and that this is what actually led to the power shortages.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he rescinded an executive order telling that all foreign entities had to stay out of our power grid. They could not have any access to it in certain ways. And immediately, like within the first week of Joe Biden being in office, that's one of the first things he rescinded. He completely flipped it, and it gave him a 90-day moratorium, something like that. I believe somebody in our Discord dropped it, and actually all the articles about this power company and everything, and the Texas governor is calling for an investigation into the group that manages the state power grid. I dropped that article in there. So there's, you know, anybody that's interested in the Discord, there's all these the things that we're talking about right now are actually in there. if you want to look it up. But yeah, that's, it's just a big coincidence, I guess, after Biden rescinded that, that we started to have grid issues, that cold weather came through. And people are talking also about, you know, how we've had weather manipulation since the 70s, that there's patents for it and everything. People are bringing the patent numbers out. They're bringing out the old videos and articles, and they're talking about how they believe that this could have actually been a manipulation.
No, and I've heard the same thing. We've talked about it here for a long time about this asymmetrical warfare. Let me ask you a question. So just yourself or from the back channels, do you personally, do you think that COVID-19 or the weather manipulation, do you think any of these cyber attacks, do you think any of this stuff, or are we like in a gray war or a shadow war with China? Just your opinion.
I believe we are in a shadow war. They're wanting to take over. China is believed to have been the next big power. And right from their dollar being the one that rules the world to, they are the ones that is the big power, the one that provides, you know. And so, you know, we can make the iPhones just as easily as they were making the iPhones for them. You know, so... yeah, there's something definitely going on. They're brought up too much. They've bought into our intellectual properties everywhere, our motive, our electronics, our ports. They've taken control of a lot of our ports in our states. You know, they control a lot of our politicians, whether we want to admit it or not. You know, they're seen shaking hands, making backdoor deals. There's something going on more than we, the American people, know. They like think that we couldn't handle the truth, so they don't give it all to us.
So what do you think about, say, Mitch McConnell and his connections to the Chinese, Nancy Pelosi's chauffeur spying on her, Chinese spy for 20 years.
Dianne Feinstein.
Yeah, excuse me, Dianne Feinstein, thank you. And then Mark Zuckerberg, his wife is Chinese. It just seems like there's a lot of Chinese connections in here.
Yeah, Les Moonbeam, is that his name, from CBS, his wife, Julie Chen. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, to each his own, they can love whomever they want. But it does seem like a lot of people in power are also mated with a, you know, and we've seen in movies, I mean, it's movies, but their counterparts were actually... Utopia, the show on Utopia. Look how that guy was married to a woman. He thought, you know, their love was bliss, and then it turned out she was actually his handler, and she'd been spying on him all this time. He was a big scientist that had discovered, you know, some type of rare disease and all of that. So, I mean, I don't think it's far-fetched.
There's plenty of TV shows where, you know, they find out like, oh, the spouse was a handler, and it, I mean, it does sound far-fetched, but where do these movie studios, producers and writers, where do they get their ideas from? You know, truth is stranger than fiction. What else you got on your radar besides the power outages in Texas? What else are you watching?
I'm doing a lot of bird watching. Yeah.
Oh, we lost Penelope. So let's do this. Let's take our break. It's AM 1090 KTGO. It's the Morning Lowdown. We'll be back right after this quick message.
Open up the champagne. Pop. It's my house. Come on. Turn it up. Welcome to my
listening to the Morning Lowdown with Dennis Lindahl on AM 1090 and FM 92.7. The Morning Lowdown continues now.
Good morning. So we are going to visit with Danielle Johnson. She's the lead advocate on SB Senate Bill 2183, which is intended to cap basic life-sustaining insulin and supplies necessary to dose and administer insulin. So, Danielle, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Good morning, Dennis. And I just would like to say my name is Danielle, just so people try to find me. They
yes,
won't look
okay.
for Danielle.
Thank you. So tell the listeners of Western North Dakota exactly how you got into this and why this is important.
Sure. I got into this because 5.5 years ago, our daughter was 13 and she was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And at the time, there was, I didn't know anything about the disease. But as we learned all the things that helped sustain her life, we definitely got involved in being outspoken about the disease and the costs that this disease incurs. And she was chosen in 2019 to go to Washington, D.C. and visit with Senator Hoeven, Senator Cramer, and Representative Armstrong, along with students or youth from all 50 states, to advocate for accessible insulin and affordable insulin, and also for the special diabetes program. So we really got to see firsthand how the legislative process works around this. And the more we learned, the more we felt compelled to tell the story of what patients are experiencing.
What, tell the listeners of Western North Dakota, what are the patients of that need to take insulin? What are they experiencing?
Sure. In our case, our daughter's 90-day supply of insulin, she's a teenager. Teens actually use, on average, twice as much insulin as children and adults. Her retail price of her insulin is $3,946.99.
Oh, my gosh.
And what used to happen in insurance plans was all prescriptions had a copay amount, and there was a deductible that you would have to meet eventually. But what's happening now is most of the high-deductible health plans have a co-insurance amount. So, for example, we pay 20% co-insurance on her retail price of her insulin and all of her supplies until we meet a $3,000 deductible, $6,000 out of pocket. And that happens every single year with this chronic illness. And the problem with insulin is it has risen 1,200% in price over the last 30 years. Insulin is 100 years old. The product itself hasn't changed. Most of us get it from our pancreases for free. But an insulin-dependent diabetic would die within a number of days if they did not have insulin. And it's just becoming a price that is too great. People cannot sustain the price.
So did the Trump administration do anything? Was there any correction, you know, with his negotiation with the drug companies? Did any of that get corrected, or just is it just sustained the same? Does politics have anything to do with it?
Honestly, that's a great question, and I am completely bipartisan on this issue because of the fact that it affects everyone. It doesn't care if you're Republican, Democrat, whatever. President Trump did sign and put into motion several executive orders. Most of those executive orders, though, have been stopped by pharmaceutical companies in the process. So nothing actually, like in my case, nothing has changed at all in the 5.5 years that our daughter's been diagnosed. So it's really easy for people to feel like once an executive order is signed, that becomes fact. And in fact, the 4 years, there's been attempts to get the prices down, but there has been nothing that has helped all diabetics that are insulin dependent. Certain pockets of people, yes, but people really need to research the true state of all of those executive orders from any administration. This has been going on for years. So, no, nothing has actually made it into law by the legislative branch of government after an executive order was signed to reduce the price by any administration.
In your perspective, what does cause this, you know, exorbitant price of insulin? It's the invention of insulin is many, many years old. So why does the price keep going up instead of what usually happens, which the price typically goes down?
Sure. The reason that the price continues to rise is that insulin manufacturers, there's only three of them, and they have an absolute monopoly on this market. They have been able to do what's called evergreening of patents, where they put different additives into the insulin. So, for example, maybe an absorption chemical that allows it to absorb into your system faster so that the insulin acts faster. So they've been able to keep generics, which in the form of insulin being a biologic, it's called a biosimilar, they have been able to keep competition out of the market. So there's actually a class action lawsuit against the three manufacturers for price fixing, and the bottom line is because nothing stops them from doing it, they can continue to do it. And the reason they can target things like insulin or EpiPens or things like that is because we don't have a choice. As consumers, we can't say we are not going to pay that price, so therefore the market would correct the price itself. We can't. Our loved ones would die. We are absolutely have to have this medicine. And it's 100% proven effective to sustain life and to keep health complications at bay. Some of the health complications of diabetes are kidney disease, heart disease, stroke, blindness, amputations. These things are extremely costly to our healthcare systems, and we're paying for them because we're not able to get the price of insulin lower at the front end to allow people to have healthy lives without these complications. And so we are fighting for the bare minimum ability to administer and dose insulin for insulin-dependent diabetics, which in North Dakota, the number is somewhere between 15 and 20,000, depends on which study you look at, how current the numbers are. That's a whole lot of people that are really having their financial stability go into ruins because of this issue.
So tell us about Senate Bill 2183. What is it? Who sponsored it? Give us all the details of that. Who sponsored it? Where is it at? What do you think? What is it going to do? And what are the prospects that it could pass?
Okay, so Senate Bill 2183 actually was brought by myself and Senator Tim Mather, and we had been working on it since 2019, where we brought a Senate concurrent resolution to the legislature to study the impact and cost of diabetes on North Dakotans. And at that time, it was really felt that this needed to be solved at the federal level. But here we are 2 years later, same problem. Nothing's changed as far as the price we pay at the pharmacy. So we brought this bill, and Senator Dever and Senator Mather are two Senate sponsors, and they have been working with us tirelessly to learn about this situation, allow us to help educate them, and we have four representatives that are also working on this bill. It hasn't gotten to the House side yet, but they've been fantastic in allowing us to tell the story, tell the truth about what's happening. For example, people will say things like, we'll get a copay card from the manufacturer. Well, that's only the manufacturer's perspective. My insurance company requires a 3-month supply. Well, insulin is so expensive that the $25 copay that should be $75 for 3 months cost me $430 to leave the pharmacy because we hit a cap. They only pay out so much. There's so many ways that people fall through the cracks of all these things that people think are helping. But so we brought the bill to through an interim committee last fall. We worked with the Employee Benefit Program Committee to educate them on what's happening and get the bill into the current state. Then what happened, was it went to the Senate Human Services Committee, and everything was removed except the two-year period of time that it has to apply to the NDPERS, Employee Retirement System Program, for state employees to study the costs and the impact to the insurance company. But we actually put in an emergency clause because in testimony, Sanford Health that administers the NDPERS program testified that, yes, we already know what the costs are. No one is going to use more insulin than they need because they would die. Nobody who doesn't need insulin is going to use insulin because they would die. It's not something that all of a sudden people are getting cheaper and everyone's going to run to the store and say, hey, give me mine for free. And it's not about free. It's about getting insulin and test supplies at a price that's affordable. And the problem that people don't understand is I often hear this, I don't want to pay for your child's disease. And I'm like, wow, I thought insurance was to pool and take care of everybody. But what they don't understand is insulin is one of the most, we provide the most money in rebates back to the pool to keep everyone else's premiums down. And just in the NDPERS program, that attunes to $2.7 million back to everyone else to use that money off the backs of diabetics who are saying, we can't sustain this price anymore. We are losing our lives. We are in North Dakota. And those of us in the T1D community or insulin-dependent community know this. And no one wants to be on the news or the radio saying, I couldn't afford my loved one's prescriptions. So therefore they died. No one is going to say that. No one wants to say my employer is not covering.
I have a question for you, and you may not know the answer. What does a state legislature on a Cadillac policy, Blue Cross Blue Shield, what do they pay for their insulin?
Actually, the state plan right now for North Dakota is administered by Sanford Health, not Blue Cross Blue Shield, but they actually have a $25 copay, and then they have a 25% coinsurance amount that they pay, but they also do not pay premiums, and they also have a $1,200 out-of-pocket max amount on their plan. For example, like I said, my out-of-pocket max every year is $6,000. Well, I could go a lot of years on $1,200 out-of-pocket versus $6,000. Or a friend of mine that's a farm family, they pay $2,600 for Blue Cross Blue Shield Gold Plan. They're self-insured and farm family. They can't just change their job to something else to get better insurance. And then they have an $8,000 out-of-pocket max. That's every year, $2,600 a month, $8,000 out-of-pocket max. And the thing that people need to understand is the out-of-pocket maximum amount in insurance plans is only for things that are covered by that insurance plan. Mm-hmm. So all the things that aren't covered by our plans, we're already paying out-of-pocket as well. So if that helps kind of give you an idea of what the state plan is versus why private citizens are saying.
I'm very surprised that you knew so many details about that. So what I heard you say, though, is that a North Dakota elected official has a better plan than what some of the constituents or maybe even most of the constituents have. $1,200 out of pocket?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So
and
how
honestly,
are we
one of the other things.
Go ahead.
One of the other things that we found working on this is that working with the North Dakota Insurance Commissioner's office, he was under the impression that most people had a $25 copay, which is the truth. If you ask the question, do you have a copay on insulin? They'd say, yes, $25. But what people don't realize is most of us don't have copays anymore. It's coinsurance, which is a percentage of the retail price, or they have a copay plus coinsurance. So unless you really get into researching and understanding the supply chain and the process and living this, unless you ask the right people or ask the patients, you're not going to know the whole story.
Not
lying.
What's the call to action? What's the call to action? Do listeners need to do anything on SB 2183?
Reach out to their senators and representatives and say, please support SB 2183. The vote in the Senate is today. If it doesn't pass in the Senate today, it dies.
Okay, I will blast our patriots on the Patriot Alert. So, Danelle, thank you very much. Danelle Johnson working on SB 2183. Thank you.